Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. Now the proverb talks about the bread of deceit. So let's read the proverb. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Bread of deceit is sweet to the man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. That's Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 17. Now here's the proverb. Watch a man that feeds you tasty food to deceive you, because it tastes good at the first and then it turns to gravel, which would, you know, if you chewed it, damage the teeth. It'd be impossible to swallow, and it'd be incapable of nourishing the body. In other words, when you sit down and you have bread served to you, if that bread is served to you in order to deceive you, you're going to like it when you first taste it, but you're not going to like what happens to you afterwards. For instance, now in a practical sense, that would be something like this. A guy spends a fair amount of money to buy you a meal to get you obligated, and then convinces you at the meal to sign on the bottom line, which you gladly do, and then later you find out that you've been swindled. You know what convinced you to get into the problem? The bread of deceit. Sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth should be filled with gravel. Now there is a corresponding proverb in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 1 to 3, that says this: When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. So if you compare the bread to the words of God, then the bread of deceit is something that looks like God's words, but they are designed to deceive you. And when you eat them, you will be deceived. And when you repeat what you have been fed, you sound like you have marbles in your mouth. Consider what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When the devil said what he said to them, he was giving them deceitful bread, bread of deceit. He questioned the words of God. He misquoted the words of God. She misquoted the words of God. And then when he tried to convince her it was time to eat the fruit, he said, God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And in truth, there was coming a day in the future when the spiritual eyes of men would be opened, but it was not to be that day, and it was not to reveal the physical things. Your eyes shall be opened. True. And ye shall be as gods, true, in the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing good and evil at a time when you could handle it, but not now. So he duped her by deceiving her with words of God. He said, God had said, in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. He said, you shall not surely die. He deceived her. Deceitful meat, deceitful bread, bread of deceit, and it tasted sweet to her. When she saw that the fruit was good for food and a tree to be, you know, much to be desired, pleasant to the eyes, and then she ate it, you know, it was sweet. Afterwards, her mouth was filled with gravel as she realized that she had just now condemned herself and her husband and the entire human race. Deceived, by the words of God, deceived by something that looked like the words of God. In other words, there were a few additions and a few subtractions, not too many, but just enough so that it looked like God's words when in fact those words were misapplied and misquoted. I'll have you know that's the reason that we're so opposed to modern Bibles, is because there's just a few additions and a few subtractions, ranging in the 30 to 40,000 range. And the words are designed to get you to buy the book, copyrighted by somebody that wrote it so they could make a little money off the deal, and they'll deceive you. And then when you repeat what you've been fed, you'll sound like you have marbles in your mouth. There is a difference in the types of bread. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we regularly compare the words of God to bread. And you live by bread physically, and you live by the words of God spiritually. But there's a lot of deceitful bread today. Now, go over there to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, which is what I quoted just a minute ago when I said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And when you turn to that passage, keep in mind, all right, that bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth should be filled with gravel. Now, what's gravel? Well, gravels are little rocks, stones. And that's a very interesting thing, because when the devil deceived the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness after he'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the tempter came to him and said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, if thou be the Son of God, watch it, command that these stones be made bread. Now, he was deceiving him. And had the Lord Jesus Christ done that, he certainly was miraculous enough to do that, the bread would have been sweet to him, but afterwards his mouth would have been filled literally with gravel. So rather than do what the devil told him to do, he answered and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Isn't that interesting that the devil told him to convert the stones to bread, and here the bread of deceit is turned to stones? That's an interesting corollary, an interesting parallel. I don't believe that's accidental at all in the words of God. The devil was deceiving him. Lots of what poses today for the Word of God is the wrong kind of bread. It's deception. Now, that type of problem was going on even in Jesus' day. That problem of presenting words that were deceitful. Okay? Turn to Matthew chapter 16 and look at verse 6. Matthew chapter 16, look at verse 6. Now, if you make a loaf of bread and you add leaven to it, the yeast that causes it to rise, and knead it and then let it sit and let it rise, and knead it and let it sit and let it rise, and eventually bake it and watch it rise and taste it, the leaven is going to give it a flavor that is very, very desirable and very tasty and very, very good, sweet to the mouth. So the Lord Jesus Christ, considering this proverb about bread of deceit is sweet to a man, used that as an opportunity to teach his disciples something. And he said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves and said, it is because we've taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye little of faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. But he compared it to the leaven of bread. That's why he said, they understood how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine. But he compared it to the leaven of bread. So the Lord says, In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17, bread of deceit is sweet to a man. But he's got to be careful. If it's bread of deceit, it's going to taste good, but afterwards his mouth should be filled with gravel. So he told them, you've got to beware, because the leaven that I'm talking about concerning the Pharisees and the Sadducees is their doctrine. It is also their hypocrisy. Turn to Luke chapter 12 and look at verse 1. Also their hypocrisy. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy and false doctrine is what he was warning them to watch out for. But the problem with the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, as it's compared to leaven, and the doctrine of the Pharisees, as it is compared to leaven, is that it would be very tasty. It would taste good. It would seem right to the palate if the mouth were the judge. But have you ever watched the Pharisees, after eating all of that deceitful bread of their false doctrine and hypocrisy, trying to answer a doctrinal question from the Lord? Why, it sounded like their mouths were filled with marbles, gravel in the mouth, blah, 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 blah. You know, Jesus Christ asked them, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Might as well talk like that, because what they answered was foolishness. They were afraid to answer him. We don't know what to say. Why, of course it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath, because the Lord said, listen, if you've got an ox or an ass that's caught in a ditch and it's the Sabbath and that thing needs to be pulled out of the ditch, you will pull it out of the ditch. And if this man needs to be healed, whether I heal him on the Sabbath day or another day, it makes no difference whatsoever. The man is stuck, typology in type, in a ditch, and he needs somebody to pull him out. The Lord asked them, the baptism of John, is it from heaven or is it of men? Bread of deceit. Tastes good, Pharisee. But the trouble is, when you're called on the carpet and asked to give an answer, it's like your mouth is filled with gravel. You don't know what to say. Blah, 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 blah. Well, what'd they do? They reasoned among themselves when he said, the baptism of John, is it of heaven or is it of men? They said, well, if we say it's of men, they're going to stone us. That's appropriate. You've been eating bread of hypocrisy and bread of deceit. They ought to stone you. You know, stones made to bread, bread turned to gravel. They ought to stone you. If we say it's of men, see, they take John for a prophet. That won't work. If we say it's of heaven, he's going to say, then how come you didn't get baptized? So what are we going to answer? Well, here's our answer. We can't say. Isn't that strange? That's the way it is with false doctrine. Jesus Christ asked the Pharisees, those that propagated this leaven of which the disciples were to beware, this tasty bread, why are you trying to kill me? He said, you have a devil. They said, you have a devil. Who's trying to go about to kill thee? Nobody's trying to kill you. In other words, what they said was, marble mouth. The Lord asked them, listen, if Christ is the son of David, then why did David call him Lord? Marble mouth, gravel mouth. What was the problem? They couldn't answer him. They didn't know what to say, because if they said, well, he called him Lord because while he came from the line of David, he was also from God, then they would have to accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They wouldn't dare do it, so they just didn't answer him. But you know what they did? No man durst ask him any more questions. Why? Couldn't ask the questions with all the gravel in their mouth. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth should be filled with gravel. You listen, on the bread of deceit, you don't know how to answer anybody reasonably about any question concerning doctrine in the Bible without lying or tripping over your tongue. Listen, today the religious crowd is the crowd that eats the deceitful bread. And the trouble with it is it turns to gravel when? Afterward. afterwards his mouth should be filled with gravel. In other words, when you eat it, you think, well, boy, this is great, man. This is wonderful. Oh, it's so good. Did you hear him preach? Afterward, it turns to gravel. Like when? Like at the judgment? When God says to you, why should I let you into my kingdom? And you say, oh, blah, 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 blah. And the Lord says, well, you sound like to me you got marbles in your mouth. You sound like you've got gravel in your mouth. Why? Because you can't answer him according to the doctrine of the Bible. Every man who professes to be saved ought to be able to answer the question, why should I let you into my kingdom, according to the scripture? But they don't. I've asked many of people that question. First of all, I ask them, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven when you die? Well, I think so. And I'll go ahead and ask them. I say, well, you know, if you were to stand before God and God said to you, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you say? Well, I'm a good whatever you are, religion, name it, whatever it is, just fill in the blank. I'm a good one of those. And I've been good to my fellow man. And I'm a good, reasonably good person. And I treat my wife right. And I've raised good kids. And I've done good things for the Lord. And I pray. And you know, I go to church. And I've been baptized. That's why I should let you into my kingdom. You know what that is to the Lord? What is it? It's blah, blah, blah. It's a mouth filled with gravel. That doesn't. None of that sounds like the Bible. You say, well, but that's what I've been told. Yeah, bread of deceit. It tastes good to you, too. You like it. You know why? It appeals to your self-righteousness. It appeals to your religious nature. It appeals to that desire to want to stand up there and tell God that he needs to accept you for all the good and wonderful things you've done. But that's not Bible. The Bible says, what? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved it. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's what you do when you say, I've been a good person, and I've led a good life, and I've been baptized, and I go to church. I'm a member in good standing at whatever church. That all sounds like marble mouth, because that's not the right answer. That's the answer of the bread of deceit. It's the answer of a hypocrite. It's the answer of false doctrine. It's the answer of a Pharisee. Of which the Lord said to his disciples, beware. That's the boasting of a lost man, according to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. The only right answer is, I have received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I have no righteousness of my own whatsoever to make me acceptable to God. I'm standing on the righteousness of Christ, which he's given me because I received him. There you go. That's the right answer. Why should I let you into my kingdom? You shouldn't, Lord. I'm not worthy to be here. But since your son extended his mercy to me when I received him as my Savior, I'm coming in on his promises. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It was a promise that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that's not marbles. You use your mouth to confess the Lord Jesus. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's no marbles in that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No marbles in that, no gravel in that. That's the truth. Now listen, you better know now whether you've been eating the deceitful bread of religion and hypocrisy and false doctrine, or whether you've been eating the right bread from the words of God. You've got to know now. Because afterward, at the judgment, if you've been eating the wrong diet of bread from the word of God, you are going to answer according to deceitful meat, and it's going to be blah, blah, blah. I remember years ago having the opportunity to lead a fellow to the Lord who was religious. He grew up in a religion. Professed to be a Christian, he wasn't, because it was a Christian religion. But he was not a saved man. He had never received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And we showed him from the Bible, you know, what the Bible says. And the man said, I need to get saved. I want to receive Jesus Christ. So he received Jesus Christ. And then when he finished praying to receive Jesus Christ, the man was furious. And I thought, uh-oh, boy, we sure offended this guy. I said, what's the matter with you? He said, I'm mad. Why? He said, I'm mad at my priest. For 31 years, I've gone faithfully to my church. And I have never heard the gospel one time. Bread of deceit that turns to marbles in the mouth, gravel mouth. He said, but I've never heard the gospel preached one time in my life. I've heard readings from the gospels. I've heard readings from the epistles. I've heard readings from the Old Testament, but I've never heard the gospel preached. Now that I've heard it, I've gotten saved. And you know what? If I had depended upon my the pastor of my church, my priest, if I had depended upon him to show me how to get to heaven based upon what he was preaching, I would have wound up in hell. Wow. Wow. He'd been deceived by the man that was preaching to him all those years. And when we ask him about salvation, you know what his answer was? Gravel mouth, marble mouth. Why? Wasn't saved. Been eating the bread of deceit, which tasted good. Listen, a man who loves you like a father will give you the true bread and will not deceive you if he loves you like a father to a son. A man who doesn't love you will give you a stone that looks and tastes like bread. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 and look at verse 9. It is amazing in the Bible when you find the word stone and you find the word bread in the same verse, because, you know, Jesus Christ had the opportunity to turn stones into bread to eat them, but he would have been deceived by the devil. That's bread of deceit. And it would have been stones in his mouth after he'd eaten it. He would have never been able to save us. He would have never been able to go to the cross and die for our sins. It would have been a tragedy. Now look here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. Ask and it shall be given you, verse 7 says. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Isn't that interesting? In other words, if a man loves you the way that a father would love his son, and you came to him seeking bread, like the bread of life, Jesus Christ, like the bread of the words of God, if he really loved you that way, he wouldn't give you a stone. But if he was a deceiver, he would give you something that would taste like bread and turn to stone in your mouth. And you wouldn't know it until afterwards, the Bible says. Afterwards, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Now, the true words of God are sweet to the taste. The trouble is, they're bitter to the belly. And that's why people don't like them. Look in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8. They'd much rather believe a lie. I've got friends of mine that I've witnessed to, and they say, well, I don't want to believe the words of God because I believe what this author said in this book about such and such. You know, there have been many Christs before. There have been many resurrections before. Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene. Some stupid nonsense like that. Or I believe in evolution. You know what that is? That's the bread of deceit. It tastes good when they first bite into it, but afterwards, sound like they got marbles in their mouth. Why? Can't answer according to the words of God. Don't know the words of truth to answer. Now in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, watch this. Thou son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. So he's now told to eat the words of God. Eat that thou findest. Eat this roll. That's what we call, you know, bread that's small, rolled up in a roll like that, that you eat with a meal. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. We call a scroll rolled up with words on it, a roll. We call that piece of bread that you eat with a meal, a roll. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Well, let me tell you something. If those were deceitful meat, he couldn't do it because you can't chew and digest and be nourished by gravel. Eat this roll, and then it'll fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat. And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Tastes real good. But notice what it did to his belly. Verse 14, Ezekiel chapter 3. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. You see, the true words of God are going to give you a very bad taste in your belly for the things of the world. And since a lot of people who profess to be Christians, love the world, they don't want that bitter belly. Revelation chapter 10, verse 9. And so they'd rather have deceitful meat, deceitful bread that tasted good, rather than the real bread that tasted good and went down in their belly and made them bitter. Revelation chapter 10, verse 9, And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up. Eating a book. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. You know what happened to me when I first started reading the Bible? I just told the folks about this in church the other day. When I started reading the Bible 20 years ago, I called a friend of mine. I don't know how many weeks I've been reading it, but let's say 3, 4, 5, somewhere in that nature. And I'd never read the Bible before, but I started reading it and devouring it and eating it up. And you know what? The words were sweet as honey. But in my belly, that got bitter, and I called my friend, and you know what I told him? I said, this old world is going to hell in a handbasket. Why? And I had been in love with the world before. Man, I loved the things that the world had to offer, and I pursued them with a great sense of delight. And all of a sudden, I looked at all that stuff that I'd been doing, and I said, man, this is terrible. This is a tragedy. God will bring this world into judgment for the things that it's doing. And I said, this old world is going to hell in a handbasket. You know what that was? That was the result of the bitterness in my belly for the things that I had once enjoyed that the words of God had changed my mind about. And deceitful bread won't do that. Now, all this modernism that's crept into churches with all these modern Bibles has caused modern Christians to fall in love with the world, which is enmity with God. But if you get into an authorized King James Bible and read it, you're going to get fed. You may not like what it does to your perception of the world, but at least, it will not make you marbled mouth with gravel in your mouth when you got to give an answer for God or an answer to God at a judgment or a question raised by anybody that wants to know what God has to say about any matter. So you better watch out for the bread of deceit. It may taste good, but it's gravel in your mouth afterwards. Great proverb. Great proverb.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.